The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special program, The Special Ten, in which we are going to be continuing our discussion with regards to those 10 blessed individuals, those 10 special individuals who received the glad tidings of paradise in this very world from the tongue of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Particularly, as we had started the discussion with regards to the blessed life of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, a couple of episodes ago, we will be continuing with regards to the blessed life of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. But before that, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam and salutations upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated, "The one who sends salat upon me one time, Allah Azza wa Jal will shower mercy upon him 10 times. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Rasulullah." Today inshaAllah we will briefly look at the hijrah, the migration of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and the benefit of having love for him. So the migration of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu an and love for him. Firstly, if we look at the hijrah and the migration of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, we come to realize that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spread this religion of Islam, we see in the life of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that first he preached Islam secretly. He did not preach it openly, but there was a specific gathering of believers who would go and they would learn, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would preach to them in this manner. But it wasn't open. Now, as time progressed, as time went on, the preaching of Islam was done openly. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to preach Islam openly along with his companions alayhim radwan. And even when Islam was not preached openly, but if the disbelievers at that time were to discover that so and so a person has become a Muslim, then that person would undergo a lot of torture and a lot of mistreatment, sometimes by his own relatives, and sometimes by, if they were, for example, slaves, then by their owners and masters at that time. So this was the situation, that Muslims were being oppressed. And especially after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to preach Islam openly, the oppression increased upon the Muslims, and even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had threats. Life threats, you could say. For example, you know, there were many times where there was a plan to, ma'azallah, murder the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under the protection of Allah azza wa jal. So one such plan that is narrated by the scholars in the books of Seerah is that the disbelievers, they had a meeting, and at that time they were deciding what to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since his religion is spreading so fast and people are starting to accept him. many gave their own suggestions, like Ma'azallah, so and so should go and kill him, so and so should go and kill him. And eventually it was decided, and even the shaitan came in the form of an old man who then approved this suggestion which was proposed by Abu Jahl. And he said that each and every person, we should get one youngster, one person from various tribes, and then they go and Ma'azallah try to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then not one tribe or one person can be blamed. And the shaitan, he advised them saying, look, I like this plan, this is a good plan. So they went and tried to implement that. So now our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been commanded to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. So he's been commanded to go and do hijrah and migrate towards Al Madinatul Munawwara. And he has, because even before his announcement of his prophethood, his character was such that he was sadiq and he was ameen, he was truthful and he was honest and trustworthy. So the people would entrust things to him, people would give him things to look after for them until they asked for it back, until the time came for him to give it back to them. So he still had some things entrusted to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what happened is, when he is about to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara, he says to Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, that I have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to migrate. So I am leaving for Medina tonight. You rest at my bed wearing my green cloak or green shawl over you and go to sleep. You will not have any difficulty, you will not have any calamity befit you, you will not have any difficulties. And after returning the things that the Quraysh had entrusted to me, had given to me as amanat, after giving those things back to their rightful owners, then come to Madinatul Munawwara as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, just think about this for a moment. Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem knows as well that this is a very dangerous time, in the sense that he knows the disbelievers are planning on attacking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are, ma'adallah, planning on killing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that very bed is the center of the attack, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would bless that bed and rest upon it. Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, despite knowing this, he says, yes, I will sleep where our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sleeps. He has been commanded to sleep there. Why? One of the reasons is this sentence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that no calamity, no pain, no problem should befall you, and after returning these entrusted things to their rightful owners, you also come and join us in Madinatul Munawwara. You also come to Medina. Subhanallah. So just that sentence, he radiyallahu anhu, this was his belief, this was his trust in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he has told me that nothing will happen to me, I will not face any problems. So for this reason, he radiyallahu ta'ala an went to sleep. And to the extent that he narrates that I slept peacefully the entire night, because it was his belief that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, it is true and it is going to be taking place, meaning I will not have any harm come to me. He says that the next morning when I woke up and I started to return these entrusted things to their rightful owners, and I spent 3 days in Makkatul Mukarrama without hiding from anyone, without hiding myself from anyone, and then I, after having returned all of these belongings to their rightful owners, I set off for Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah. So he says, on the way, nobody came to me, nobody tried, nobody harmed me on the way as well. And then I reached Quba, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was residing, and at a particular place, and I went and I stayed there as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So this was a brief look at the migration of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. We've already looked at what a great status Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem possesses in terms of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of the ayat of the Quran which were revealed, which the commentators and the mufassirin have stated that these verses refer to Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem. We heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, ana madinatul ilmi wa Ali babuha, that I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its door. O ana darul hikmati wa Ali babuha, that I am the house of wisdom and Ali is its door. Now if you look at the importance of love for Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, he radiallahu anh himself says that two kinds of people will be devastated on accounts of me. The one crossing the limits in intense devotion, intense love to me, will add those characteristics to me that I don't possess. So this is going extreme in the love of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, to the extent that ma'azallah, declaring him even greater than the Shaykhain, the first two Khalifas after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. And he says, this is the first type who will go extreme in love. And second ones, the ones bearing grudges against me will provoke them to slander me. So these are the two types of people. And with reference to the above mentioned hadith, the renowned commentator of the Quran, Hakim al-Ummah Shaykh Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahimahullah ta'ala, has stated, love for Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem is the kernel of faith. However, it is terrible to cross the limit in love. But grudge against Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem is really haram, absolutely forbidden, and sometimes it is even kufr, disbelief. Allahu Akbar. If we look at, for example, the love for Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem and the blessings of having love for Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, a beautiful story has been narrated and mentioned by the scholars, that once there was a person named Abu Ja'far from Kufa who was fair to everyone in his dealings. In particular, he would accept the lowest price paid by anyone from amongst the progeny, the family, the lineage of Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Or he would not charge them and he would record the amount as a debt to Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. So he would accept the lowest price by the progeny of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, or he would record it as a debt in the name of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Once he was sitting by the door of his house, a man who was going past, he taunted, and in a mocking way, in a taunting way, he made these remarks that, has your big debtor, meaning Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, has your big debtor settled the debt with you or not? Allahu Akbar. So has he settled the debt yet or not? And this person, because he was a true lover of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem and the family and the descendants of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhahul kareem, that he was greatly shocked by this taunt that was hurled at him, that were made by this individual. So when he slept at night, he was blessed with the vision of the great Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, along with Hasnaini Karimain, the two grandsons of our Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked his grandsons about their father, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. And Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem replied from behind, saying, O Prophet, I am present here. Subhanallah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired and he asked, why do you not fulfill his right? He radiallahu anhu replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have already brought the money with me. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, hand it over to him. So Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem handed over a woolen pouch full of money to the person and said, it is your due. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the person, receive it and do not refuse anyone from his progeny who comes and asks you for loan. From now onwards, you will never suffer poverty, destitution or deprivation. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So when this person, he woke up, he actually found that very woolen pouch in his hand. So now in a state of disbelief, he called his wife and he says to her, tell me if I'm asleep or if I'm awake. In other words, when we find something to be unbelievable, we say, is this real? Am I dreaming? So likewise, he was saying to his wife, tell me, am I asleep or am I awake? So she says to him that you are fully awake. And he became so jubilant and so happy over this and related this whole story to his wife. And when he checked his list of debtors that he had, he found that there was not a single penny of debt mentioned in the name of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Meaning all the debts, the records that he had made of all the debts in the list, they were paid off. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. These are the blessings of having love for Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem and his blessed progeny. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love for him. Ameen. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salam alayka ya Rasulullah. But my dear Islam brothers, we have to keep in mind that the love of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem comes with a few requirements of its own. Meaning, Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu himself has stated that after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma are better than all. And then he further added, لَا يَجْتَمِعُ حُبِّي وَبُغْضُ أَبِي بَكْرُ وَعُمَرُ فِي قَلْبِ مُؤْمِنِ. That love for me and hatred for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, O Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it cannot gather in the heart of any true believer. So love for me, hatred against Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, or Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, cannot gather in the heart of a believer, in the heart of a mu'min. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidina Shaykh Abu Muhammad Abdullah Muhtadi alayhi rahmatullah al-qabi has narrated that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I was privileged to perform Hajj. In the Haram al-Kaaba, I was informed about a person, he didn't drink water. So I was very surprised and I went to see him to ask for the reason for why he did not drink water, why he didn't need to drink water. And he said, I am from Hilla, a city in central Iraq. And I once dreamt of a horrific scene. And I found myself exhausted due to intense thirst. Somehow, I managed to get to the Hawdi Kawthar, the pond of Kawthar. The pond of Kawthar of the most beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he says, I found Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem present there. All of these respected great personalities were distributing water to the people. So he says, I moved towards Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, because I held him in high esteem and would consider him superior to the rest of the three caliphs of Islam. To my surprise, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu turned away from me. I was very thirsty, so I went to the rest of the three caliphs one by one and each of them ignored me, meaning turned their blessed faces away from me. Allahu Akbar. So in the meantime, I came to the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I came across him and I came near him and complained that Mawla Ali turned his face away from me and did not make me drink water. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, how can they give you water? You bear grudges against my companions. Allahu Akbar. He says, having heard this, I felt absolutely sure that I held an incorrect belief. Out of remorse and regret, I repented sincerely before the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me a bowl of water which I drank, and then I woke up. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, I don't feel thirsty ever since I had that bowl of water from the blessed hands of the merciful Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he says, after this dream, I also advised my family members to repent from their corrupt and wrong beliefs. So some of them did and some of them did not. Now, alhamdulillah, it is concluded from this foregoing parable. And also, this is just one incident and parable, but there are many proofs that our scholars have also presented with regards to the greatness of the Shaykhain and Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu an over Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem in terms of their status. Otherwise, each and every one of these is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the rest of the companions. And no matter how big a person is, a saint is in this world, no matter how high a status he attains, he cannot obtain the rank of sahabiyat, being a companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But we learn from this incident and this parable that the criteria of being a true Muslim is that he bears heartfelt reverence for all the blessed companions, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, all the blessed companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if a person has respect for some of them but hatred ma'adallah for some of the other companions alayhim ridwan, then he is seriously mistaken. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love and devotion for the blessed companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the neighborhood of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his four companions in Jannatul Firdaus. So my dear Islam brothers, this is the aqeedah and the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah, that in terms of greatness and in terms of status, the greatest of all companions, the greatest after the Nabi, after the Anbiya Kiram alayhi salatu wasalam, after the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest is Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and then Sayyiduna Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and then Sayyiduna Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an, and then Sayyiduna Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. As mentioned by Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqah, Allama Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi rahmahullah ta'ala, that the order with respect to the superiority and ranking according to the doctrine and the aqeedah and the creed of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the true school of thought, that all the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether seemingly they be superior or the other case, but in reality none of the companions alayhim ridwan are inferior. None of them is inferior. So our belief is that all the companions alayhim ridwan are destined for paradise. After the prophets and messengers, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu an, then Umar Farooq Azam radiyallahu an, then Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an, and then Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. They are superior in that order to all the creatures of Allah Azza wa Jal. The order that we've mentioned, they're exactly, their status is in that order. So greatest from amongst the all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it humans or jinns. So the greatest after the prophets and the messengers are these companions. So whomsoever considers Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem as superior to Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu an, or Farooq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala an, is a disbeliever having corrupt beliefs. Allahu Akbar. The superiority of rank after the above mentioned four righteous caliphs, the Khalifas of Islam, is for the remaining members of the Ashara Mubashara, the special 10 companions that we are discussing in this program of ours, followed by the Hasanayn Karimain, Sina Hasan radiallahu anhu and Sina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then the Ashabi Badr. Ashabi Badr are those companions who fought in the Battle of Badr, Ashabi Bayt Ridwan, and all these are absolutely Jannati, guaranteed to enter paradise. Superior here means being more respectable and honorable in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The same also stands for bearing abundant rewards. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love and devotion for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness upon the aqeedah, the creed and the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special times of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum.